It could be blood. It looks like the earth was unnaturally scorched. You have a strong suspicion that a relic anomaly occurred here.
This isn't the forest. If you've ever seen the forest, you would know that.
We are in the woods, no? This is a forest. You see, my man believes this place is haunted. But of course, that is purely nonsense.
Ghosts are remnants with souls, with unfinished business. And I can tell you that this man probably is not done with you.
Hello, foundlings, and welcome back to another episode of The Gate Chronicles. This is Chronicle 1, Chapter 77. My name is Emily. I am your game master and host for this series, session, episode, and all of the above things that always happen. And today, I am joined by my singular player. I don't think you could guess which one it is today. All right, if you guessed this person, then you would be wrong, because I don't think you guessed right.
I'm glad that you're making it longer and more awkward. It is none other than I, Quentin Ott, your friendly neighborhood, not GM in this instance. If you have not found out as of yet, based on the previous episodes, clearly, I am playing Christoph.
I think that's incorrect.
Oh, I think okay. You
just lied.
Wait a minute. Oh, no, I'm actually playing Charles Smoot, 57-year-old biology teacher born and raised in upstate New York, currently looking for a key.
You know, we could just explore Christoph's backstory.
We could. Yeah. We could just throw all the material we have out the window and just see a day in the life of Christoph.
All right. So, let's get started. It seems that Wolf's Lodge is a den of many secrets. Having discovered a mechanism beneath the cliffs of the lodge, Charles has determined that to activate it, he will need a special item, a high-ranking seeker's badge. But with all of the seekers either dead or having fled the region, Charles finds himself in a bind and with limited authority at the encampment. He must tread lightly. But a familiar face might just prove to be the edge he needs.
Oh, the gladiator Seraphius!
Oh, yes!
Oh, I couldn't remember his name for the life of me.
So as you are returning back to the lodge itself, along with Seraphius now, it's been about 2 hours since you've been missing from the camp. And as you're getting back with Seraphius, the entire encampment is beginning to stir with, you know, the lazy soldiers who are just starting to roll out of their tent encampment spaces. If you would like to go unnoticed, you could attempt to sneak through the camp or just walk in confidently.
Yeah, walking confidently with Seraphius. I'm pretty sure if we wanted to, Seraphius and I could probably beat every regular guard here. The captain is a little dubious because he's probably higher ranking.
Yeah. That probably looks at the GM's notes. Probably.
That's why we're just going to assassinate him in his sleep. Don't worry.
Since you are just walking back into the encampment, a few of these soldiers notice you approaching with another Red Guard member. And they look slightly confused, and you see that they get up and they run back over to the lodge itself. And you assume that they're probably going to go and report you coming back from somewhere.
So, what's the plan?
In order to get into the vault, which is where we ideally would like to lay the trap for Order Knight Revenant, it seems as if we are going to have to procure the Secret Guardian's badge. This is the only thing, from my understanding, that will open the vault, from the context clues that I've gathered.
Seraphius turns to face you slightly away from the other guards as to continue this conversation.
Do you have any idea where it could be?
Well, these are things generally cherished by Seekers. They are useful for showing your status, your affiliation, your rank. They tend not to travel too far from your person. And the last place he was sighted was a suicide mission not too far from here as he scorched earth the whole place.
He tilts his head slightly, confused at what you mean by that.
What do you mean by scorched earth?
The earth is literally scorched, scarred, beyond recognition. It seems that he knew he was going to be taken down, but Seekers aren't one to go without a fight. If he had a Seeker pendant on him at the time, it could still be somewhere there. We have a number of Red Guards who, for some reason, seem to listen to me at least a little bit.
He looks you up and down, nods.
You have an air of authority around you, so it makes sense.
I'm going to follow up with them to see if they've discovered anything during their excavations, as they were looking to the vault in the location where his demise befell him. It's possible they found his pendant.
And I probably should follow up with Captain Leopold, or else we might end up with him up our backsides, and I'd rather not deal with him.
Alternatively, if the Guild Guardian was as crafty as they tend to be, it's possible that he kept his pendant far away from himself so as to not be discovered.
Your answer is it could be where he died or somewhere else. It's either here or there, right?
Well, it's either here, yes, or there being somewhere else, but the two locations I would put my money on are either at the excavation site where they're currently digging or hidden somewhere within the lodge.
Right. How about this? I'll go look in the lodge while I'm handling Captain Leopold. You take a look at the excavation site.
When you go into the lodge and you enter into where Captain Leopold is set up, you'll see behind him is a large painting of the previous Guild Guardian. In that image, you will see his pendant.
So he goes off from you, and you can see that as he is walking away, Captain Leopold was beginning to come down the steps with a small platoon of guards following after him, and he is intercepted by Seraphius, and you can tell that he seems a little frustrated and tries to look after you as you're walking off to the excavation site.
I grab the Red Guard members who I was in association with the previous day who were sleeping by the Aquinthians.
Yes, you go over to the stable. You grab them. They sort of happily get up to follow after you. Not sure what exactly your plan is, but they're curious.
About how many men do I have here?
You have 6.
Oh, okay.
But the area that you're going back over to is relatively large, and it's going to take a while for them to search the area.
Well, what I wanted to check with them first is to see if any of them have spotted this already, because they've been digging for a while.
Right.
So I would turn to them.
All right, gentlemen, if you were to hide a vault of treasure with powers beyond your wildest imaginations, would you leave it unsecure?
They look at each other. They shrug.
Maybe.
Really?
Well, it wouldn't be a good idea, but maybe the Seekers aren't that smart.
Well, I want you to think about that. I want to think about the fact that you haven't found what you're looking for the past, like, 3 to 4 months.
There's a little murmur amongst them in the group.
All right, so we have determined that it is likely that they may have hidden the vault, which is why we're digging.
Yes, the vault is hidden, but as any good vault would be, it is also presumably locked. Finding the vault will do us no good if at first we do not find the key. A door without a key is just a wall. We will not be able to get access to what we need inside without it.
Question, sir. If a door is just a wall, if you don't have the key, how is it any different, though, if you just blow it up?
I'm sorry, do you have a bunch of explosives laying around?
They murmur amongst themselves.
I don't know if I should be telling you any of that.
What do you mean? If we have explosives, that could help expedite excavation.
Well, we have been using explosives to clear out some of the areas, but we're running low on it.
I mean, okay, let's preserve the explosives for now.
So you want us to dig for a key?
Well, wouldn't it be helpful if you knew what you were looking for?
Probably.
So I pull out my secret pendant.
This. It's small, I know. It's not particularly standout-ish, but this is what we need to find. Something akin to this was the Guildmaster's pendant. It'll be slightly different in metallic hue, but identical in shape and iconography.
They get close and they take a look at this pendant that you're holding out to them, turning back to each other.
All right, boys, let's get digging. Keep an eye out.
I would aid them. I probably wouldn't be doing so much digging because I can't imagine that it would be buried.
Sure. Would you like to instruct them to do something different?
If the Guildmaster, like, exploded at the center of this area, at worst, you'd imagine that it would be somewhere by the surface. It could have gotten, like, blasted.
a good distance, possibly, but it should be somewhere around the surface. I mean, if it's raining, it's possible that it's sunk in, but...
It's not raining today. You do see, as the younger guard that you had interacted with the previous day seems to be just kind of looking around the blast site directly. He looks up at you, and he seems to gesture over to you.
I walk over.
So, I was thinking, more than likely, since he blew himself to smithereens, we've been finding... we found chunks of him originally in different areas surrounding the site. Bits of cloth and things that he was wearing might have gotten blown off around in the trees area.
Your potential is wasted here. You got a good head on your shoulders, lad.
Thanks. I mean, I was originally attending the School of Vocational Studies, but my parents wanted me here, so there's that.
To each their own. Alrighty. Well then, join me and we can survey the surface. Check through all the shrubbery.
Go ahead and make a perception check.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Total 32 for Charles Smoot.
Okay. You begin walking around, looking up in the trees, unsure of exactly how big this blast was. You determine, though, that with the radius of the scorched area, that it must have been relatively large and probably had a lot of force behind it. And since they were indicating that they were finding bits and pieces of him around the area, you decide to look up. And looking through the trees, you notice that there is a glint of a silverish metal twisting in one of the tree branches.
How high up?
It's on one of the higher branches. It's about 20 feet in the air.
Does the tree look climbable?
You could attempt to climb it.
Well, thankfully, as we've been informed, this is one of Charles Smith's better skills. Athletics, total of 29 for Charles Smoot to climb that tree.
You are very fit, and you find it easy to grab onto these tree branches, the low branches, and use them to hoist yourself up. And utilizing some of your body strength, you're able to actually grip around the torso of a tree and just climb up, outstretching to reach for this pendant. You sort of have to climb onto this branch a little bit. You do feel it shift a little under your weight. It doesn't really like you being out there.
So does it feel like the branch is going to break if I continue to reach for the pendant?
Yeah.
How thick's the branch?
Not thick enough to bear your full weight.
Can I stand on a lower, more sturdy branch, but then just cleave through this one that the pendant's attached to?
Sure.
Just going to attack it, man. Do I even have to roll to hit for that?
You don't roll to hit, but you have to roll your damage.
11 damage for Charles Smoot.
So you effectively deal 6 points of damage. Roll again to destroy this branch. It's just how much time it takes.
Yeah, we just hacking away at it. Chop! Chop! Ooh, yeah.
Yeah.
Charles Smoot with a total of 24 on that next swing.
With your first swing of your bastard sword, you feel as it just barely hits into the branch. You heave it out with a little bit of resistance, and then you bring your sword arcing over your head with more effort, and you completely slash through this branch. And you hear as it cracks and begins falling, and actually falls onto the branch that you're on, hitting it and bounces off. Please roll acrobatics.
28 for Charles Smoot.
You manage to maintain your balance as the branch kind of wobbles a little bit.
And retroactively, after having done this, I realize that the poor little red guard that's been following me this whole time could be standing below. So Charles Smoot does shout, "Look out below!"
Luckily, the little guard was nowhere near you. But everyone stops as this branch comes crashing down through this tree and lands with a massive thud in the mud below. And you're able to climb back down with relative ease. And there on the ground, kind of buried under this tree limb, is a silvery-colored crow pendant.
I pick it up.
You pick it up.
I want to inspect the back, because doesn't it normally have some form of identifier for who it belongs to? Or is that something mystical, kind of?
That's like the mystical aspect of them. Okay. You can't see it.
Dang.
They all look, like the backs of them all look blank to you. But you have seen, when you were with Nora and Zora, you've seen them use like a special spectacle where they peer through it and they can actually see something on the back of it, but you've not actually seen anything.
I wonder if they would have one in the guild hall still.
This pendant feels strangely lighter than yours, but certainly more durable, as it has no scratches on it from being crushed under this tree.
How big is it?
The same size as yours. It's about palm-sized.
All right, I pocket it.
You see some of these guards are coming over.
What happened? Everything okay over here?
Ugh, damn tree branch just fell down. Luckily, I saw it, and I just wanted to make sure that everyone was clear.
Must have been weakened from the blast. And all this rain sogged over and just fell.
Well, any development on your front? Any sign of either the pendant or the vault?
They all shake their head.
No.
All right.
Sorry, sir. Nothing here.
It's all right. You're all doing very good work. Keep up the pace. I'm sure we'll spot something eventually.
I want to grab the little guard who could, as I'm assuming everyone else is just going back to digging, as that's all they seem to know how to do. They're not the sharpest tools in the shed. I can see why they were assigned to manual labor. Let's just put it that way. And I want to get... I want to probe this guard's mind for information. I was going to be walking with the guard back towards the rest of the camp to see what Seraphius has gotten into.
Okay, as you were actually leaving, and this is by the time you reach the stables, you can see Seraphius is coming out from the lodge itself.
While I'm walking with the little guard, I kind of want to get some information on the guard rotation.
Seems like the captain has you all working pretty much all day, every day. With you all doing most of the manual labor, it seems. Is there some sort of rotation for this?
Oh, well, not exactly.
So it's just you guys digging every day?
Well, we only dig when he's really paying attention. We haven't been doing much.
With that being said, then who tends to take the night shifts for a guard?
We just sort of draw straws on that. Since most of the other guard tend to lounge about during the day. Why do you ask?
It seems like a rather inefficient, not well-manned system, that's all. I mean, you're this close to the wood. It can't be safe. I mean, have there been any incidents? Creatures coming from the forest?
He looks around, confused.
Not here, no.
Fair enough. Well then, keep searching in my absence and make sure that all the other guards are at least attempting to look busy.
Right, sir.
And then Smoot will go speak with Seraphius.
You hear a cerulean kind of peeps at you from within the stable.
Oh, I let him out and I take him for a walk around.
Hold on a second. He's in the stable. You have to go
I go over this. I ignore Seraphius. I go over to Michael Boy.
You finally walk in.
I'm like, look, I make eye contact with Seraphius. I hear the eep, but I just like hold up a finger at him like 1 minute.
Okay.
And I walk over the stable.
Okay. So you walk into the stable. Go ahead and...
Roll a perception check in my future with that intonation.
Roll a perception check.
A 27.
As was stated previously, you know that in this stable there are... three of the Blue Fan Elk and two Quinthians that are kept here overnight. Today, it looks like everybody is just sort of inside the stable as you have the men digging and looking for something and not really hauling away debris. So why bother bringing them out? But as you begin to walk towards Cerulean, you notice something on the floor. It's kind of like a etching that's caked in mud. And though it's coated in this mud, you notice several small cracks across the floorboards. And though the orientation of the marks doesn't seem to match the direction of the panels, and you begin kind of clearing away bits of debris and you clean out some of these cracks, and you realize that the scratches are actually letters that are carved into the floor. And you know, like, if this place had been better kept, it would have been a lot easier for you to see. But after you've cleared out more of these grooves, words begin to form. And it says, "Theirs is the wisdom of the forest. They will be your feet and guide."
Is Seraphius making his way over to me as I made eye contact with him and then walked away to the stables?
You are currently in the stable. There is no visual perception for you to have outside of the stable.
Okay. I poke my head out to see if I can spot Seraphius still.
So you walk back over to the entrance and you poke your head out and you see that Seraphius is still making his way over towards you. It'll take him a minute.
I approach halfway.
Okay.
Or meet him there.
You go outside of the stable and approach over to Seraphius.
Any luck on your end?
You first.
Well, Captain Leopold is quite an annoying brute.
Yeah, I surmised that much from my first encounter with him.
Wouldn't get off my tail while I was in there. Couldn't really take a good look around. Figured I would maybe attempt later this evening when he's more tipsy.
Oh, well and good.
He has agreed to leave you alone, however. You are given a bit more authority to move around without him being overly scrupulous of your actions.
And you?
I'm of a higher authority than he is, so, and I'm also bringing information from...
Oh, well, la-ti-da, look at Mr. Fancy Pants just strutting on in.
I'm bringing information from Order Knight Revenant, so he has...
Oh, so did I, and he still seemed very curmudgeon-y.
He looks you up and down.
Charles, remember, you're not a Red Guard. You're essentially a mercenary for hire right now.
Well, fine. All I know is one of these days I'm going to punch him in the face and take his feathered hat.
Revenant?
No, Leopold, well, maybe him too. But, oh. I mean, that was more with a tramp of a horse. I don't have to punch him in the face and more like collapse an entire mountain on top of him. Then he dies and then I take his feathered hat. We'll get there.
You're really bad at being subtle.
You ever ride an elk before, Seraphius?
No.
It's the first time for everything. Come on in, bud.
Okay.
And are there spare saddles still in the stable? Or have they been like kind of like ransacked and pillaged?
I mean, there are saddles in the stable. The stable has been ransacked and pillaged, but the saddles still exist.
I would make my way in. You said there's three elks?
There are four elk, including yours.
Well, yeah. Three others besides mine.
Yes.
Yeah, I guess I would saddle one up for Seraphius.
Why are we taking these out right now?
These are much larger than your elk. These are full grown and much older, as you can tell by their rack.
I saddle up a second one for myself.
Your elk can be ridden. He's just a little smaller.
Yeah.
Well, also, he's new in town, okay? He doesn't really know his way around the place. These elk are more mature and probably know where they're supposed to be going.
So, can you please explain what we're doing right now? I thought we were looking for your key.
Hey, come on, Seraphius, one step at a time.
I thought the key was the one step at a time.
Well, it's part of the step at a time.
I don't quite understand.
All will be made clear. Listen.
Right.
The Red Guard have been here for 4 months, very relatively unsuccessfully attempting to look for what they cannot find. When you go to a new location that you've never been before, it's always best to get a guide. And seeing as all the seekers are gone and no one else has been here previously, these elk know these woods better than anyone else. I'm sure they'll lead us to where we need to be.
All right, what are you, just going to pet them and whisper in their ears, like softly, take me where I need to be, or something like that?
I mean, listen, I think you're underplaying how intelligent these creatures are.
I'm not trying to underplay. They're very large and stand out
so
a lot.
So you're intimidated?
No, I'm saying we're going to be taking these elk out during the day.
I mean, they glow at night, so I really don't see. I thought you said we had free reign to do us a place.
I didn't say free reign. You have less observation on you, yes.
All right, well, I'll take the less observation. If someone spots us taking two elks out into the woods, we can explain ourselves.
He looks a little warily at this elk, which towers over even you.
Oh, sure. Absolutely.
It looks down at you, and you see as it kind of tilts its head and comes over and sniffs at your clothing.
You want me to roll a nature?
You can. What are you attempting to do?
Just trying to reassure it that I am a... Though I am a big, loud, annoying brute, I mean it no harm, and that I am a friend of friend. 25 total for Charles Smoot.
The elk seems reassured by your gesture, and you feel as its snout nuzzles into your hand a little further, and it seems like it's looking for treats. And Cerulean seems to pout indignantly.
Cerulean, would you like to come with us? I'll let you out, bud, but we need these guys to guide us to where we're going to go.
You think it's not going to be a bit more suspicious when you have three elk?
We need one to carry something back.
Whatever, fine.
We're having the big dog show the young one the ropes, you know?
Right.
So, Seraphius and I will settle up on the two big, old male adult elks, and we will head out. I'll have Cerulean follow, as he is trained to follow.
Okay. You could also just take him by a lead, but that also works. So, you mount up on this elk, and you begin riding out. You are proficient with riding. Hmm.
Seraphius, is he not? He's probably ridden a Quinthian before.
Well, he's ridden Tota before.
That's the same thing. It's like riding a bicycle.
It's just so Tota are generally lower to the ground.
Yeah, and, you're not wrong.
And the elk sit up high.
Yes, they do.
Seraphius, you're not telling me you're scared of heights now, are you?
These are male elk. and they're very tall. The females are like 8 feet tall. Meanwhile, the males are around 10 to 12 feet. And their racks can be 14 feet.
Sure.
Like if they're wild. So they actually keep these trimmed down. But he does seem a little nervous as you guys take the elk out of the stable. And you do notice that there are comments being made around the encampment by the guards. And you even see as you begin riding out that Captain Leopold is currently standing outside of the lodge. And you can tell that he is doing his trademark glare in your direction. And he's watching you carefully as you begin riding. So you are attempting to have these elk guide you.
Indeed I am.
What do you do to have them, air quote, guide you?
I have train animal, but that's not going to help me too much. And then I do have ride as a bonus feat as well. I mean, I guess I would just use a nature check again.
Sure.
To just kind of like assuage them.
You could attempt a lore seeker to see if you can maybe recall something about specifically how seekers might be using elk.
Sure. 30 total.
You have a feeling that the words that were on the floor were almost a key in their own right, that some combination of them or request could be made to the elk using those words. And that even though Seraphis was being slightly indignant about the fact that you might have to whisper into the elk's ear, you have a feeling that it actually you being like whispering into the elk's ear.
I will bend over to my burly boy and I'll whisper into his ear.
Please lend me your wisdom. Be my feet and guide.
You see as its ears sort of like flick back, all six of them. And then it seems to turn its head, and there's this really strange glimmer in its eyes. And it turns its head, and it begins walking towards the lodge.
I reckon I was hoping to go. Very well, then. Where does it go?
So it takes you towards the lodge. And
I'm just glaring at Captain Leopold. Like, we walk past him, and we turn around, and he's just watching us. I'm just glaring at him the whole time.
The elk walks through the encampment, and it doesn't seem to care that it's walking through some people's tents. It's just literally stepping on them and knocking it over. And you hear as some of the guards are just getting so frustrated, and they're jumping out of the way. Some of them are cursing at you, and you look back and you see Seraphius is covering his face.
Right, Charles, what?
But your elk is continuing to walk and his is following after along with Cerulean at the back. And it does walk up the steps to the lodge. It kind of just hops over them, landing in front of Captain Leopold, who kind of falls back a little bit, catching himself before he lands on the ground.
What is the meaning of this?
And they continue walking straight past the side of the lodge and turn right along the large cliff wall that separates the lodge and the cliff, right towards the waterfall. It starts walking into that area and it walks straight over to the cliff ledge, which is almost like not a complete straight drop down. And you feel as it steps down.
Oh, nice.
And as it does, you see that it kind of like a mountain climbing goat.
Yeah, like a mountain goat.
Literally, its hooves grip into the side as it just starts walking down carefully along this path that you would never have seen as a normal person.
Mm.
And it makes its way down to the lakeside. And you can hear as the captain is calling out after you. But his voice kind of fades and echoes over the top of this cliff across the whole area that you're going down into. And you're kind of ignoring him because you're almost at the bottom, safely.
How's Cerulean doing?
He's at the top.
He's at the top?
He looks, you turn to see what he's doing and he seems kind of nervous. You see he's like jumping around up top trying to, like he's mulling it over himself what he should do until finally he kind of, you see him test
the stones. He's like, nope.
And he starts trying it himself. And I'm going to roll for him.
No, my poor baby. I should have left him behind.
You told him. And he's the same level as you, so.
Yeah, he's a good boy. He's been with me since the very beginning. Maybe he just unlocks Ultra Instinct, you know?
He falls to his death. No, I'm kidding.
That is like, he if he takes a wrong step, he's falling like 300 feet. And that's a dead elk.
Yeah. Like, you wouldn't think they could.
Does he not have some innate
No, he does.
Spirit of the forest, plus two bonus to athletics when climbing down mountains.
Cerulean, after taking a few steps, you see he kind of hesitates, but then he gains confidence. He begins to follow you down.
Oh, beautiful. Told you.
And you all make your way down. And you see that Seraphius is, like, latched on. How is your character reacting to this? Because you fell down this.
It's a mixture of initially terror, then it turns into, like, awe and excitement, and then it very quickly turns into jealousy and curmudgeon-y old man nature. It's like, wah, 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 wah. I tried climbing, and now it's apparently this easy. La-dee-da.
Congratulations. You made it down to the base of this cliff, and you're actually kind of close to the waterfall, surprisingly. And you can see where the wolf statue is sort of protruding out from the rubble.
Okay.
Right. So we have everyone's attention on us now. I don't know what we're doing. Are we looking down here for the key?
Well, we haven't got enough distance away from them. I can let you know that I found the key.
Well, that's wonderful.
Yeah, is that great news?
But Charles, we've drawn the attention of the entire encampment. Look.
You look up and you see that there's a number of the Red Guard that are standing at the edge of the cliff looking down. And, like, they're sort of shouting down at you.
There's three ways this is going to end. They're going to stand up there like a bunch of idiots gawking the entire time. Two, they're going to try and climb down here, and about half of them are going to die because even I wasn't able to climb down here unscathed. Or three, they're going to walk their long ass way down here, and it's going to take them about 2 to 3 hours.
Nice, just protect us. All right. So, now what?
Wasn't part of our plan is the fact that we need to lure Order Knight Revenant down here.
Yes.
So we're going to have to send a messenger letting him know that we have located and successfully opened the vault, right? We now have a ton of witnesses to what we are about to do.
All right. It'll take him 3 days to get here, though.
Plenty of time. We need to prepare, because once he's here, we do need to, in the interim of him getting here, we need to successfully overthrow the encampment and lay a trap.
All right. Show me what needs to be done.
Were you able to get in contact with Franny anymore?
There's a settlement nearby, several miles down. She had some of the artisans deliver some product for us to use there. I'll have to be the one to go get it. I doubt that Captain Leopold will be happy if you leave.
Very well. Phase one of plan. Let's open this door.
All right. What door?
Right this way. And I start kind of guiding the elf over to the wolf statue.
You see that it is just sitting there currently, waiting for something to happen.
Right. I go ahead and I hop off my elk.
You climb down off of the large elk and you approach towards the statue. Seraphius stays back a little bit on his elk.
I take out the Guild Guardian's secret pendant and I place it in the maw of the wolf.
As you place the badge into the mouth of the wolf statue, its eyes begin to glow faint blue and it sinks a little bit further into the ground, and there's a slight tremor beneath your feet that seems to just travel past you. You can see water on the lake ripple in a line towards the waterfall.
Charles, what did you do?
Key vault! And Charles just points at what's happening.
It's in the water?
I guess.
All right.
I try and pick the pendant up out of the wolf's mouth.
You remove the pendant from the wolf's mouth, and as you do so, you feel as, once again, the wolf stone sort of begins then to raise back up, and you once again feel the tremor.
Well, here's the problem. Well, Travis, how confident are you that no one's going to touch this if we leave?
Weren't you the one that said it would take them several hours to get down here?
Yeah, I just really hate leaving things up to chance.
Well, it looks like if you take it out of its mouth, it stops working.
That's my point. I don't necessarily want to leave it unattended, but it appears like we have to go investigate the waterfall now.
All right, so are you going to put it back?
Yeah, I'm going to put it back.
Charles Smith puts it back into the wolf's mouth. He was just debating on whether or not Seraphius should stay here and guard the pendant, but 'tis fine. So he will trigger the mechanism once again, putting the pendant into the wolf's mouth and then leaving it in place, start making his way over to the waterfall.
Okay. It sinks back down slightly into the ground, and once again you feel the tremor traveling beneath your feet, and you see this very clear line rippling straight to the waterfall. And you make your way back there. As you walk over to this waterfall, you can see that it is arcing over the cliff top and pouring down into the lake below. It's very thick, so it's hard to see anything else behind it.
Chelsea just walks on in.
Are you still riding the elk?
I would have ridden the elk over.
Okay, so you dismount.
Yeah, I would dismount, leaving them here at the base of the waterfall, and I would gesture to Serapius.
In my experience, waterfalls only hide cool stuff, so I mean, we just gotta go in, man.
All right.
He hops down off the elk. Cerulean looks confused and watches as you begin stepping across a very narrow, like, patch of land that very quickly becomes muddy and sort of your feet sink into it. And you become soaked as you step underneath this waterfall.
I look back at Cerulean. Does he look like he wants to come with us?
He looks upset that he's being left behind.
I call him over.
He looks hesitant.
Well, you can't have it both ways. Now can you, champ? You either stay back there or you come with me.
You can attempt to handle your animal with a nature.
I will beckon him forward. 29, shall smooth on his nature check.
He approaches towards you, some hesitance in his steps, and he follows after you as you cross underneath of the waterfall, becoming quite drenched.
What do my elf eyes see?
Your elf eyes see...
My very human elf eyes.
Your elf human eyes see a cave behind this waterfall. It stretches back into the cliff about 60 feet. And you can see there's a door that appears to be made of solid steel. And you see a very familiar panel on the side, which you assume is where a badge must activate. And you can see that there are faint markings on the ground that seem to indicate the mechanism that activates the door is engaged.
Beautiful. So Charles Moot would approach with Serapius, and as he is very accustomed to at Lamb's Respite, he would scan his seeker pendant at the access pad in front of the door.
Okay, you do so. And you see as the door starts to sort of slide back and into a recess in the wall. And it opens up into a dark tunnel.
Well, I'll be damned.
You didn't have to bring a light with you, did you?
No, I did not.
Well, fumbling around in the dark until we find a light switch is always an option.
Well, your elk here glows, so that might help.
See, Cerulean, I knew we brought your own for a reason. You're such a good boy.
And I will gesture for Cerulean to follow us as we proceed further into the vault. Does the entrance close behind us?
You enter into this hallway, and you see just down beyond your line of sight, there seems to be something that kind of flickers to life. And it becomes apparent that there is almost like an automatic torch that lights up as you enter. And you do hear as the door behind you closes.
Well, that's not great. Is there a way out of here?
Yeah, there's a door right behind us, Raphius. The thing we just walked in. Come on, keep up.
He starts looking around. Is there some way to activate it again? I don't really like being here. I already spend so much time at the Colosseum. This is weird.
Honestly, it's more reassuring that that thing closed behind us because that means anyone who's attempting to follow us, if anyone at all, they wouldn't be able to access where we are.
Cerulean kind of sniffs the ground.
Yeah, but found something interesting besides dust and mold.
But you see that this hallway goes on for a good distance ahead of you, but there seems to be directly to your left and right two separate hallways that end rather abruptly.
Well, Charles Smoot will walk forward a few feet just to peer around the corner of each to see if there's anything of note or interest directly ahead of him.
You can't see directly down these hallways because of the lack of light. But Cerulean steps up, and you can see that because of his very dim glow from his fur that you can see partially down the hallway, there are doors on either side of the hallway. And straight ahead, you see a set of stairs.
I walk up to the torch first, and I examine it to see if it can be removed from the wall.
It does not look like it is able to be removed. In fact, it doesn't look like a true torch, but it is glowing like one. Cerulean begins moving down the leftmost hallway.
Hey, Matt, you're our light source. Charles Smoot just runs after him. Listen, Serapius, clearly the elves know what's going on here, so we should 100% trust him.
no matter where he goes.
Are you sure he knows what he's doing?
Absolutely not. But he has more of an idea of where he wants to go than we do.
He goes up to the door. He barely fits down this hallway at this point. And you see as he kind of like kicks at the door in front of him, and you see he's sniffing the ground.
Hey. I'll open it. Back up.
He takes a step back and you have to squeeze past him.
Awkwardly, like I'm like pushed up against the wall, barely able to pass. I attempt to open up the door.
You open the door and you can see another torch lights up inside.
How wide's the doorway? Is it a single door or a double door?
It's a double door.
Okay, so Cerulean can fit through.
Yes.
Okay. And I gesture for Cerulean to come in.
Okay, you step in?
Yeah, I step in.
It doesn't seem like there's anything really hidden in this room as you enter inside of it. Cerulean gladly follows you. As you can see that this room seems to be filled with a lot of non-perishable food items stored in crates and containers. And you can see that all the way to the leftmost side of the room, there seems to be another small hallway, but you can't see past it quite yet.
I'll leave.
Cerulean enters in and you see he starts nudging his nose around in some of the boxes.
I'll leave him to do what he's gonna do and I'll poke my head around the corner.
You walk over to the corner and you see there's another torch that's lit up here.
This is sort of ominous. Why are the lights on in here?
Because there's people in here.
You think they're still here?
No, I'm talking about us, dummy.
Oh, wait, what?
Yeah. The place is probably rigged so that when someone enters, the lights turn on so we can see.
Why aren't you surprised by all this?
It's a secret vault. I'm a seeker.
Right.
Not my first rodeo
champ. You looked a little surprised, though, when it first happened. You were worried about not having lights.
Well, listen, each base is different, and I didn't know if this one was up with the times.
Well, what's down this way?
Wait, hold up. Real quick.
All right.
How many days' rations would you say that these non-perishable goods would last the camp for? We would probably win some favor with some of the guards if we brought these up to them.
That's not really my area of expertise. If I were to take a guess, I guess possibly a month.
I'm sure they'd be mighty pleased with whoever provided these to them instead of whoever is currently in command letting them run short.
Cerulean breaks the box open.
All right, we have 3 weeks. He can have that one.
All right, what do you do?
I'll begin walking down the other hallway for the back.
As you start making your way down this other hallway, you can actually see what appears to be...
looks like a kitchen.
More storage back here, possibly, because you see a shelf that has plates and jugs. And as you make your way down the hall, you see that there's another room. It's a smaller cubby area, but it looks like there are barrels here and several jugs stored on the floor. And also what appears to be another barrel that has some rope on top of it.
What is that in the back left-hand corner?
You walk over to it.
From my effacement, yeah.
And you see that there are 5 jugs on the floor. They're all corked.
Pop the cork on one of these bad boys.
Okay.
And I take a good old whiff of it.
It smells like some sort of cooking oil.
Oh, that's impressive. I go over to these casks.
They're laying on their side, stacked. Okay. But there's only 5 of them, besides the other barrel in the room.
Oh, the one that's currently stood upright?
Mm-hmm.
Where's the opening on the one that stood upright?
It looks like it is on the side.
Okay. Would I be able to open it without its contents spilling out?
You jiggle it a little bit, and it seems like it's empty.
Okay.
Why don't you roll a perception check?
Sure.
Let's use your senses.
Yeah. We're using our senses here. Mid? 25?
From the jugs that you were sniffing, you can definitely tell that it is a cooking oil. Probably something like olive oil. There's also this very faint, sweet, and soured scent in the air. And it reminds you of alcohol. It's definitely some sort of fermented beverage in these barrels. Probably wine, but you can't exactly tell.
All right, Ravius. I mean, there's one thing that'll get the soldiers' spirits up. Not only is it food, but we got booze.
Great. So, this is what a Seeker's Vault has in it? Food?
And booze.
And booze, right.
The 2 greatest things in life. What else were you expecting?
Chosmu just starts leaving the room.
Well, this is what I'm thinking. He follows after you as you walk out and you hear Cerulean as he's kind of digging into this feed that he's found. And I say feed, I do mean like it's grain that he has broken into.
That's enough. You'll get some with dinner, too.
He goes back and starts trying to like grab more and filling his mouth with it.
One more bite and then come on.
So then you walk out. But Seraphius voices a concern.
Are you sure there's no seekers still here? I mean, all this food and liquid they could possibly survive off of.
Okay, and your point?
I don't know. You think they're still here? I'm asking you, Mr. Expert.
They've been here for months. It's not impossible, but from my understanding, the gate was deactivated. Anyone who could have fled presumably would have, or they've been stranded here for quite some time. Either way, it's a win-win. If there is no one here, then all of this is now belonging to us. If there is anyone left, more than likely we should be able to count on them for aid.
Right.
You make your way out of this room and down the hall, and you currently have the now hallway to your left, which leads to the stairs, and directly ahead of you, which leads to the other door.
We'll just keep going straight for now. So before we delve too deep, we'll all try and clear out this floor, and I'll try and jiggle that handle.
The door opens, and the room seems dark currently until you step into it.
Ooh, looks fancy.
And the light, again, flickers on automatically. You see that in this room, there is a desk, and there is a short wall that blocks you from passing by it. And you can see that there seems to be a back area behind the desk. Directly ahead, though, there is a small space that seems to have a shelf unit, and you can't really see much beyond that.
I'll round the corner first before invading the privacy of this desk, which I am absolutely also going to do later momentarily.
You walk over to this spot where you see the shelf. The shelf appears empty, but it is very dark in this corner as the light does not reach properly.
And I whistle for Cerulean to follow behind.
Cerulean is stuck behind Seraphius.
Hey, move your big butt.
Oh, sorry.
He steps to the side.
There are other people in here too, you know.
And Cerulean approaches over to you. Go ahead and roll a perception check.
This is going to be, you know, I just wasted a great roll, didn't I?
You see that there's an old job board here with nothing of value.
So pissed. 33 for my natural crit of the night. Yeah, how you feeling?
You walk over beyond the desk to the back room, and you can see that there are markings on the floor as if something was originally stored here that is no longer. But it looks like it might have been some sort of weapons cache. But you also see the typical ranking board on this wall as well. It appears to be currently blank.
Was the ranking board actually an artifact? Because I was never sure if this was something that was like manually updated or if this was something that actually was almost like automated.
You're not sure. You could attempt...
A lore seeker?
You could attempt a lore seeker.
Total 20 for Charles Smoot on his lore seeker.
I know.
Again, you remain completely uncertain. This board is blank, though you know the one at Lamb's Respite is constantly updating. If it's updated or updating, you're not sure. So if it's automatic or not. This one, though, is just completely blank.
Sure.
There are no seekers listed here. And there is no information on it whatsoever. Anybody looking at this who has no knowledge of the seekers would not know what it's for.
Sure. Does it seem like there's anything nearby to update the board with? Like, is it like a chalkboard that's just like magical? Like, I don't understand.
It doesn't look like a chalkboard.
No. All right, can I poke at it?
You poke it.
What does it do? I'm getting Boblin the Goblin so hard by this ranking.
You poke at the board. It feels like it is just a regular sturdy wooden board. But you've never poked the boards at Lamb's Respite, so you're not sure exactly what it's supposed to do. If it were to do anything, though, you would think it would need power. Whatever was here powering it might not be here anymore.
That's fair. Okay. Charles Smoot will go back to the desk where Seraphius is kind of situated right now, and he'll just hop over.
So Seraphius is sort of leaning against the desk, sort of peering over from this side.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be almost outlines of items that were on the desk for a very long period of time until they were finally removed.
Looks like they might have had a ledger book or something. What is this room used for?
Well, looks like this vault is actually more of the guild hall than anything. Back at Lamb's Respite, we had a similar area, but it was kind of the group commons. This place would have been used for quest tracking and member ranking. any official guild business would come and go through here.
They're surprisingly small.
From my understanding, Wolf's Lodge was never the largest of guilds. A couple dozen, maybe 50 people.
As you jump over the desk, and you could see this like right when you walked in, but you're now making more note of it. You see that there is a wooden chest on the floor. And right around the corner, you can see that there do appear to still be shelves with items on them as well.
Well, logic would dictate, if there is something openly visible on a shelf, it is of less value than whatever is hidden in a chest. So we try and crack that bad boy open.
Okay. So you want to open...
the chest.
The chest.
Yes, to clarify.
You go over to the chest. It appears to have an average lock on it. And it is locked currently.
I look under the desk to see if there's a key.
Go ahead and roll a perception check.
28 for Charles Smoot.
You find no evidence of a key being left in this room. Whoever cleared it out took everything they could carry easily.
Travius, let's say, theoretically, there was a locked door in front of you. Would you try and pick the lock, or would you try and just break through it?
Depends on the situation. What sort of urgent situation are we in?
Not very urgent.
All right.
He hops over the wooden gate.
What's the problem, then?
I don't know. Do you have any lockpicking skills?
I'm not trained in anything of the sort. No, I've never done that. Why not just pick it up and take it with us?
Because we don't know what the contents are. What if it's a box full of potatoes?
You could just... okay, why not pick it up and find out if it's a box full of potatoes?
You just want me to shake it and figure out if it goes da-da-da-da and I'm a potato?
What if it's empty?
Well, pick it up and tell me if it's empty.
Why am I picking it up?
Well, you're closer to it now.
He walks over to the chest and sizes it up a little bit. He reaches down to the latches on the side and tries to pick it up. And he heaves.
Oh!
The chest doesn't move.
Ugh. See? Some heavy potatoes.
Why don't you give it a try, maybe?
Why would I try? I'll just break it open and see what's inside.
All right.
Charles Smoot will attempt to strike at the wood of the box.
Okay. Go ahead and roll.
24 for Charles Smoot on his attack.
How about this, Raphius? This is my solution. Yeah!
You see that the chest is filled with silver and some crow.
Ooh.
Seraphius walks over and peers inside as well.
Huh. Well, that doesn't make sense.
Why doesn't that make sense?
All right, how about this? Why don't you try and lift the chest?
I feel I'm starting to understand, and I'm picking up what you're putting down.
A chest?
Well, no, you're not picking that up at all. It's quite possible that, who knows, maybe the chest's nailed to the floor. It's infused somehow. It could be a relic. Who knows?
Sure.
Charles Moon tries to stick his hand in the chest hole.
You stick your hand in the chest hole and you come into contact with a bunch of silver pieces.
You try and take a handful out.
Sure, you take a handful out.
What's your problem? You can just do this.
Whatever.
Do I see any crow in the silver that I grab?
Yes.
I point out the crow to him.
Okay.
Try and fish out as much of this as you can.
All right.
There is a reason behind it.
It's a small hole. Your hand fits in there, but we both can't go in, so why don't we just tilt it over and dump it out then? Since we can't pick it up.
Well, if you can't pick it up, do you really think you can tilt it?
Well, apparently this coinage is very heavy.
I mean, yeah, it's a giant chest full of coin. How much did you think it was going to weigh? It's probably a couple hundred pounds.
All right, well, like I'm saying, I didn't expect it to weigh that much. It just seems a little excessive. We could both knock it over.
I mean, we can give it a try.
Yeah, let's do that.
Or let's do that.
Yeah.
Big, burly, muscular man.
Okay. Big, burly, muscular man. Oh. What's your die say? I didn't even ask you to roll, so that's...
Oh, I don't have to roll, you're right.
No, I'll take it, though. Well, both of you walk over to the chest, and there's not enough space for you both to be trying to, like, pull and knock it over. So, Charles, you decide to take the lead, because you're the big, strong man. And you walk over, and you get your hands behind the chest, and you try and tilt it over. It will not budge. And you hear his... there's a laugh in your head.
Oh, yeah, like you could do any better. Weak. Let me try. You know what? Sure. Why not?
You see a Selra kind of coats over your arms a little bit and guides you to the chest, and you reach down again, and then with his enhanced strength, you attempt to tilt the chest. It will not budge.
Weak. Broken. What is?
He doesn't answer.
Well, Zeravius, I think it's a lost cause. I would just knock a bigger hole in it and try and scoop some out.
All right. So then how are we carrying around this coin?
Well, like I was trying to show you, this has absolutely no value to anyone else, but is incredibly valuable to Seekers. This is what we should be aiming for, because in the instance that we have inevitably do have more Red Guard down here, we can let them loot and plunder and have their way and be happy and merry. They can go after the silver coin, which is of less value to us than this crow.
All right.
Put any of the crow you can in one of Cerulean's saddlebags.
Cerulean is currently standing at the back of the desk. He can't cross over. It's not tall enough of a ceiling for him to jump.
Yeah.
So he stands there looking sad.
Cerulean, we will be with you in just a minute, buddy.
Seraphius, he starts trying to like dig through here and starts picking out the coins. What do you do?
I'm going to continue to investigate the rest of the room and see what's on these shelves.
Okay. You continue to investigate the room. You can see, though, very little in the back corner. It's kind of dark and hard to get a lot of light, but you can see the items that are on the shelves. So go ahead. Perception for me, please. As you're going to be searching the shelves and seeing what you can find.
23 for Charles Smith.
Okay. You see a number of items on these shelves. And amongst them, you see that they are labeled. There are two antidote moderate, two cheetah's elixir moderate, one giant scorpion venom, 10 glow rods, 5 healing potion moderate, 1 oak potion, 1 oil of weightlessness greater.
I'm just shoveling it all into my fat bag. What are the glow rods exactly?
A glorified glow stick.
Nice. That's what I thought. Charles Miller's take off his shirt, start using it to wrap up what he can.
And you see Seraphius is like going through, still counting out the coins. And you guys are doing this for about 20 minutes.
For sure. Take a while.
You feel a slight chill.
It's probably a little breezy now, isn't it?
Yeah. It's kind of cold in here. I will say, you do make note, as you are scrounging about in this area, you notice something on the floor, but it's a little hard to see with the dark. Something seems off about the wall nearby.
Charles Moon will just crack open one of these glow rods.
You, for the next 6 hours, it sheds bright light in 20-foot radius and dim light to the next 40 feet.
And Charles Smoot will begin investigating this wall.
You see that there are scratches that arc from the shelf against the back wall.
Charles Smoot will try and pull in the direction that the scratches indicate the shelf should kind of like move to.
It doesn't budge.
Can I roll a lore seeker to try and figure out how the mechanism might work? If there's some kind of like latch or something that has to be activated first?
Why don't you just take another look around then, since you've lit up the room. You've changed your circumstances.
Sure, that's true. Yeah, I'll take another perception check to see if I can find any more information. Anything like a lever, a switch, some kind of like pressure plate that needs to be activated.
Sure.
27 for Charles Smoot.
You realize that there is a secret door here, and you realize that there must be that lever nearby. And you begin looking around the shelves until you find a small bump on the wall, and you press it in. And you hear as something unlocks.
Hey, Seraphius, but I just found something.
And you see as the shelf swings inward, but it makes the space very narrow.
I walk back to Cerulean.
All right, Cerulean, you are now our guard elk. I need you to stay here and eep very loudly if anyone else comes by but us.
You see that Seraphius is also, he had to start pulling out the silver, and he's barely gone through it.
You want me to keep going through this? It's really up to you what you want me to do.
I was going to actually say it's really up to you what you want to do.
I'd rather finish one thing at a time.
All right, well then you finish up here and I'll poke my head up the way a bit, but you keep scrolling company and a holy heap if anyone else comes by. I'll poke my head in, and if you hear me screaming bloody murder, then come check on me.
He nods and you walk through this area. And as you step through, a light comes on. And you see before you is a relatively short hallway that leads up a little bit, but you can see that it seems to go off to the left. You see down the hallway that there might be an opening to the left.
Well, as that's the most immediate thing within sight, Charles Smoot will hesitantly peer around the corner just to make sure. I mean, nothing's been booby-trapped yet, but I don't like the length of this hallway and how it's perfectly boulder-sized. This could be Indiana Jones still. You don't know.
I mean, you haven't looked for any traps, so, I mean, there is that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just that lucky.
So, you don't want to look for any traps or anything?
No, I'll be fine. I'll just walk forward.
Okay. I will say, you notice that compared to the musty and stale air of the previous rooms. This space is strangely sterile and almost lacks in any real odors. So you peer down the hallway corner. And as you do, you see that there is a dark room up ahead.
I don't like patterns I'm seeing on the floor.
Do you go in?
I'm just going to take one little tiny teensy step onto where this tile begins to change and see what happens.
And as you step into the space, the light comes on and it leaves like this strange bluish hue. It makes you think of like neon lights, and you hear and actually can also see the light flickering overhead. But this looks like it is the true reliquary of Wolf's Lodge. And you can see the familiar blackish storage containers in this room. Compared to places like Lamb's Respite, it is significantly smaller.
Sure. So Smoot will start digging through some of these containers to see what he finds.
Sure. Please roll a perception check.
Heyo. 29 for Charles Smoot.
There are far less objects in this room than you would expect in a reliquary.
Well, but grab some and ran, yeah.
But to be fair, Wolf's Lodge is small, and the number of seekers that called this their home base was dwindling.
Also, it's kind of like abandoned in a hurry, and people probably ran.
You do know, you do find several items of particular interest to you. And I'm just going to give you the item names, and we can also, I can offer you any descriptions if you really want. But to make things simple for both you and I, you find what appears to be a wounding rune, a gliding rune, a thundering rune, and a silver trident that seems to have two slots available, so it's a +2.
Oh, what am I able to infer what the gliding rune does?
You would need to take it to somebody, but they're all of these are labeled.
Sure, sure, sure.
So they all have like a label in them.
Yeah.
And like, we're just saying for now that we're using the graft.
Yeah.
Remember the grafts. So yeah, it's a gliding graft. It's levels. Yeah. So yeah. But yeah, you find that. And I will say that as you're exploring this room, of particular note though, in the lower left corner of the room, stored in one of the smaller bays, you see something that doesn't sit quite right with you. You see inside of this small little bay is a triangular object that appears identical to the one that you have on your person. And you can tell it's kind of reacting to something. It's almost vibrating in the little base that it is situated on.
I pull out mine.
You pull yours out and you feel that it's vibrating and like almost pulling. But at the same time, pushing away. It's getting hot in your hand.
I attempt to grab the other one.
As you get closer to grab it and open up the case, you feel the vibration of it pushing and pulling, growing stronger.
I'll set mine down on the floor.
Okay. You do see that tucked behind the stand that this one is on appears to be a note.
Oh, let me read that first. Will explode if coming in contact.
All right, now let's see what this says. Really hard to read. Oh, there we go. 1468 RT. Okay, I'm assuming this is a date. I can't remember all there. Detected source emanating from somewhere west of Wolf's Lodge. Probable location in Taija.
Do I recognize the date?
No. You do know that you are nowhere near the year of 1468.
Oh,
you're
fair
currently
enough.
In 1509.
Oh, wow. Okay, sure.
And RT, you know, you've learned stands for restored time.
1468. Restored time. March 5th. Clan interference impeding progress. Discovered rune entrance into the old waterways. Likely other entrances as well. May be beneficial to get authorization to excavate. Okay, so something's going on in Taija, but what is this clan they're referencing? 1468. Restored time. March 12th. Rune itself is strange. No flora or fauna. Feels like a maze. I assume purely man-made, but too large to be feasible. Material? Unknown. Some type of metal? 1468. Restored time. March 15th. Feels like we're being watched. Nothing's revealed itself. Gut instinct says to run. Source is close. 1468, restored time, March 28th. Central chamber. Metal vines all over walls. Possible artifact. In progress of being built? A gate? Removed piece, sending back with hound. We'll continue exploration. Seems important to continue. An archivist note. Theft, the end of the transcription. Hound in bad condition upon return. Animal put down. Unable to identify function of relic. Does not seem dangerous on its own. Unable to locate seeker. Source undetected. City officials limiting access to seekers report filed. Keeping record with relic for future reference.
And you look at this triangle that you've reached in and picked up. It's still vibrating. You get the strong sensation that they want to rejoin, but they don't want to be near each other. At the same time, there's a constant pushing and pulling of the one that you're holding in your hand.
I try and open this mechanism similar to the one that mine does.
You open it, and you see as the beam of light comes out of it and seems to point in the direction where yours has originally pointed as well, which was towards Taija, as far as you can recall.
I will leave the triangle piece here for now.
So you put back this piece, picking yours up, and what do you do with it?
Just throw mine back in my bag.
Okay, you throw it into your bag.
Yeah, haphazard, as always. As I have always done.
Okay.
Hasn't blown up yet.
And you begin to leave the room, and the light flickers off. And as you approach out, you see that Seraphius has finished up with what he was doing.
And I'll close the door behind me.
All right. Looks like 30 of your crow.
He starts piling the silver coins back into the chest.
There's a button in here, too. I didn't want to push it without you looking at it first.
He stops putting the coins in.
Almost forgot.
Yeah, push it.
He looks at it warily.
I feel like you should, since you're the seeker and you're...
Are my hands magic?
He eyes you and kind of, like, gives you a, you know why I'm asking.
Oh, are you scared that you were going to get blown up? Hey, well, you know, I was awfully busy when we first met. I didn't get a chance to catch your gladiator fight. You know how to use one of these? And I toss him the trident.
He catches it.
Huh. This looks like a fine weapon.
It was about the only thing of value I found back there. But I figured if anyone's earned it, you could probably make use of it.
He looks over where the door is closed.
So, it was a weapons cache or what? I'm not exactly sure what all is in this vault. Do you know what they might have been looking for?
I think I might, but I'm not sure if I found it yet. We'll see. Originally, I had my theories on something different, but mine's beginning to change.
What's that mean, exactly?
My understanding, the Red King is building something. I'm not quite sure what it is. Back in the room, there was a transcript in regards to some artifact being built in the old waterways of Taija. And back a long while ago, close to 100 years, the Seekers were kicked out of Taija. Restricted access from whatever was under construction. I fear that this is a plan. Generations in the making. Very close to fruition.
Uh-huh. Means very little to me. Old waterways, though. Sounds about familiar. I know that during the old regime, with the Merchants Guild being present in the city, there used to be a way that you could travel from the lower districts up by boat. Those areas were destroyed, creating ways instead for just carriage and trolley.
Problem is you're referring to old waterways. They're old from your perspective. The report that I read referred to them as old waterways. And that was back 100 years ago. So what is old to them is ancient to you. Possible they're in reference to something else.
All right, I don't know everything going on. But I can't really explain anything, so if you were to explain it to someone like Revenant, it may make more sense to him. Doesn't make much sense to me.
Well, maybe Revenant will be useful for something else just besides dying. Might be able to get some information out of him after all. Let's push on. I'm not quite sure that we've found what we're looking for yet. The space seems to still have power. What I originally thought that Revenant was after was the generator that's generally associated with each base.
They have large power sources that keep all of their artifacts running, including things like some of these lights, some of these mechanisms. If they're trying to build their own artifact, they're going to need a power source. And that's honestly what my money was on.
All right.
Well, it looks like we're going to have to delve deeper. The stairs up ahead to our right. I think that's where we make our way.
All right.
And I gesture for Cerulean to follow.
Oh, Cerulean leaves the room before you even get out.
Well, la-di-da, it looks like he knows where he's going.
He doesn't like the tight space, and he actually was making his way back over to the other room where the door was left open.
You know what, bud? All right, so what I do is I go over there. I pull out a bag of the grain.
Okay.
And I put it on the other side of the door, and then I close the door.
You can have this. I don't want you making a mess and eating all of the food, okay? There you go. At least you're happy.
Okay, so he eats the food.
And Seraphius and I will continue on down this staircase that seems to descend further in.
Wonderful. This is great.
Oh, that's the first time you've said that, which means I think we're about to die.
I feel like I'm really good at building up the tension and then nothing happens.
Yeah.
So you come down the stairs and they go for a good while, as is typical for almost any Seeker's guild and base. You arrive at the base of these stairs and you can see ahead of you is a large sort of antechamber, and you approach towards it with Seraphius stepping through the door. You can see the room is already lit. And it's not lit by any sort of sconce on the wall. In fact, it looks like the light is coming from overhead, glowing sort of like crystals.
Now, this antechamber, decoratively at the very least, has pillars here.
Yes, there are pillars.
Do these pillars look like they are structurally required for this room?
Probably.
Okay, good to know. But, just for future reference.
Oh, yes, for future reference.
Future reference.
But as you walk in the room, you can see to your right, there seems to be a lever and some gears. And all the way at the end of the antechamber, there appears to be a set of stairs that leads up to what appears to be the only non-man-made structural area, an obsidian platform where the stone walls are actually protruding through, and you can see what appears to be a mirror gate sitting on this platform.
Mr. Raphael, real quick for me, go walk up and pull that lever.
Why do I feel like you're trying to throw me into a trap?
Well, how about this? You pull that lever, and when we go back the other way, I'll push the button at the bottom of the chest.
Fine.
He kind of gestures for you to step back, specifically out of the way, just in case, so he can jump through.
Yeah.
Seraphius walks over and pulls the lever. And as he does, you see as the floor panels begin to lift where the pillars are. And the pillars actually sort of raise up into the ceiling. And you can see that they kind of disappear. And as they do, and the floor lifts, you see that there seems to be like these individualized platforms, like training platforms. And they are raised areas, so like it's created almost like an obstacle course, but it doesn't seem dangerous. However, because the pillars have raised, you can actually see the under mechanisms, the gears and the pistons that are installed here. And it does appear that they've been here for quite a while and that they're potentially fragile. And if damaged sufficiently, could lead to a very quick and easy collapse.
Well, see, Seraphius, it wasn't that spooky. Ookie spooky, now was it? You can go ahead and put that back where it came from.
He jiggles at the lever for a second.
Okay, it's not moving.
What do you mean it's not moving?
It's stuck.
What do you mean it's stuck?
It's stuck.
Charles Smith will, like, push him out of the way and try his luck at the lever.
Roll a flat check strength.
10 total for Charles Smith.
It's stuck.
I'll be damned, it is stuck. No, isn't it?
His flat check was also not good. He looks at his hands, starting to doubt himself.
I need to work out more.
We should work out more.
All right. So this place looks a little bit less easy to cross now.
Why do we need to cross it?
Oh, we don't have to, I guess. I thought you wanted to go check out... I don't know. I was curious about the big thing up there.
Oh, you don't know what that is?
No.
You want to go figure out what it is?
Kind of.
By the way, the only parts of the platforms that raised were all of these squares. So these.
Okay, so we can walk around.
You can. You can.
Just hug the wall to your right and just walk on up.
Well, it's not that tight. It's just annoying to have to, because the stairs are.
Oh, wow.
Okay, do you go with him?
Yeah, I follow.
Okay. You approach over to the stairs, following after Seraphius. And you can see as you get closer, the stairs leading up to this mirror gate. And you can see over to your right, coming up the stairs, is what appears to be possibly a generator. But the gate is currently off.
So, what is this?
It's a mirror gate.
Come again.
A mirror gate.
Uh-huh.
At least that's what it's referred to. The best way to explain it is it's the link between space. Each of these gates can allow you to almost instantaneously transport yourself from one gate to another gate based on the location and code entered in. This is how seekers are able to mobilize themselves and access some of the runes that they do. With that being said, though, some bigwigs up at the Seeker Council or whatever, apparently they have access to these remotely, and this one's been deactivated for the time. But we're worried that if left unchecked, someone could figure out how to reactivate it, and from there, potentially use it, which would give them access to every single Seeker base across the entire continent.
So you can't turn it on from here?
I could try! I gotta say, not really the brains of the operation within my group, generally speaking. You know, the more that I think about it, we don't really have anyone who's very technologically know-howable within our group. I kind of hit things. Valen kind of has money. Benavir talks, and Kelsey's like a good girl. But other than that, like, we don't really figure things out. We more hit the problem until it stops being a problem. It's generally our MO.
Uh-huh. Well, I mean, is there any benefit to activating it?
Absolutely not. In fact, it was my mission to come here and destroy it. But I'm fingering two birds with one stone. My plan is if this generator and gate is what Revenant's after, we can lure him into this antechamber. And then if we pile up enough explosives, we can hopefully collapse the whole thing on top of him.
All right. Question is, I don't know anything about the explosives that Vranny's people are sending our way. Activating it might be the issue. And getting out.
Mm. We'll cross that bridge when we come to it. I have ideas, but I don't want to try and put the cart before the horse. No need to do more than what you have to. So for the time being, I think the mission's been a success. We should probably head back topside before Captain Leopold gets his panties in a twist.
Right. Now the only concern is if they come in here and start messing around with things.
They won't be able to. Even if they do end up finding where the entrance to the vault is, they'd have one hell of a time getting down here. I don't know if you noticed, but when we came in, I had to utilize my Seeker badge to activate the panel to access it. One, they don't even know that that's what they need to enter here. And two, even if they did, they'd have to pry it from my cold, dead hands.
All right, then.
For the time being, I say we try and carry up some of the provisions and supplies. Something to bring back with us as a show of good faith to make the men happy.
Feel like the coin will make more of an impression than the food and supplies.
Why not both?
It's gonna be a lot of work. But if that's what you want to do. All right, let's head back then.
And we start rounding our way out of this area.
Okay. You gather your things. Getting some of the supplies, you managed to get one of the casks. Some coin. In total, Seraphius tells you there was 430 silver pieces in the chest. He brings about 200 of it out. And one crate of food. Then you go to the front entrance, opening it with your badge once again, and step out to behind the waterfall. And it's at this point you hear Captain Leopold and several men shouting to you as you exit from behind the waterfall, as they have now also reached the base of the cliff. And I think that is where we're going to end this week's episode of the Gate Chronicles.
Ooh, cliffhanger.
Thank you, Foundlings, for listening to this week's episode of The Gate Chronicles. We're so glad that you joined us and that you'll continue to follow along. We really hope you do. So make sure you hit that follow or whatever subscribe button you have. If you want to support the podcast in many myriad of ways, tell your friends about us. Or you can join our Patreon and donate to the podcast and help us financially because we are poor. And we want to give a big thank you and shout out to our current Foundlings, Stephen Howland and Jason Lillis, for being our favorite patrons, clearly.
Our favorite.
Favorite.
Only. But favorite.
Favorite.
You're among the best and most loyal of followers.
Among the best and most loyal. That's how that works. So, if you wanna get a nice shout out, like
join
them,
their ranks.
Join their ranks. And you too can also
have your name read out at the end of our podcast. If you want to send us a message too, we'll read a little blurb for you.
Well, a little blurb, as long as it's like PG-13 content. So, yes. Or hang out with us in our Discord. That always helps to motivate us. All those links are in the description below. And we want to give a big thank you and shout out to Michael Gelfie of Michael Gelfie Studios and Monument Studios for allowing us to use their music and ambiance in today's episode. That's all for now, Foundlings. We'll see you next week on the next episode of The Gate Chronicles.
Bye, guys!
Bye-bye!
You found your toast.